Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to our first worship of this new calendar year. It is good to be together and to be again as a family in our chapel to have worship this morning. What a privilege to be together and to just spend some time in our busy schedules just to worship the Lord. This morning, I read scripture in my morning devotions. I was in the book of Amos. And Amos is one of these prophets who wanted Israel really to get back to the Lord, to be close to the Lord. And over in that chapter that I read, he said things like this from the Lord: seek me and live. A little later, he says it again: seek good and not evil, that you may live, so the Lord God of hosts will be with you, as he has spoken. May this be our goal for this week, for this semester, to seek the Lord so that we may richly live in his presence. May this be our experience as we come here week after week to worship the Lord. We're privileged this morning to have Dr. Jones as our speaker at the beginning of this semester. Most of you, all of you, know Dr. Jones. But let me say a little bit more about him. Dr. Jones has been here at the seminary since 1995, so a good 17 years. He is a professor of Christian ministry in the Christian ministry department, teaches classes in church leadership, administration, in social issues, and also in homiletics. He is also the associate dean, a man that is very capable and that we appreciate very much here at the seminary. Before coming to the seminary, he was a pastor in the Northeastern Conference, more particularly in New York City, where he pastored the two largest churches in New York City, Hanson Place and then Ephesus, just before coming to the seminary. He is a graduate, did study at Atlantic Union College and graduated from Fitchburg State College. Got an MA here from the seminary at Andrews University, a doctor of ministry from New York Theological Seminary, and a PhD in American religious life and history from Western Michigan University. So a well-credentialed man that we have with us, an author, a professional, popular speaker. He's the senior pastor of the All Nations Church right here in town, but the best credential is that he is the husband of Elva and the father of Jewel and Clifford Jr. That's the best credential we all have. We welcome him to our pulpit this morning to share with us the word of life as we begin the semester. May our hearts be tuned to what the Lord has for us today. Amen.
Good morning. I hope you all had a good break. And even if you didn't, the Lord is able to help you heal from whatever difficulties you may have had. Let us join in singing number 348, "The Church Has One Foundation."
Thank you.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I stand before you as your servant, but for this morning, I'll be the leader in the litany found within your bulletin. I ask that you join me in reading. I'll read the portions marked leader, and you will read the portions marked people, and then in the end, we will all read together. All right? Our Lord's high priestly prayer in John 17 was not merely for the individual success or achievement of his disciples, but for love and unity among them. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, and we are the body of Christ and members in it. There already exists evidence of unity in our loyalty to Christ, but as we eagerly enter this new semester, anticipating the opportunities to serve and challenges to excel, let us reaffirm our commitment to more closely attain Christ's appeal for unity in our diversity. Like all God's calls, this is an invitation to collaborate with Him. He lays no compulsion on us, but to love one another in the same way He loves us. He waits for our positive response that we will take hold of His will and make it our own in words and deeds. Altogether, sanctify us in your truth, O Lord, so that we embrace each other as brothers and sisters in the divine family, made complete by your presence, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. God bless you all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's sing number 12, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower they were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." Please pray with me. Dear God, I ask for your blessing on this service today, and I ask for your blessing on the word that Dr. Jones is going to share with us. And I ask that the scripture really be something that sink in for us as we think about unity this semester, and not only unity, but what we do with that unity, Father. So I ask that you please be with us and that your spirit rests in this place and on our hearts as we turn to you and we ask what word you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God is good, amen? This morning I want to sing a song that says, "Come, now is the time to worship." And I know that that's the reason we're here this morning, right? To worship God. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. And still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Oh, come. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. And still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. God, one day every knee will bow, and still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, worship Him. Worship the Lord of all. Come to worship.
Morning, and a very blessed and happy new year to one and to all. It is good to be back in Berrien Springs, Michigan, and for once, we get to truthfully say to you, welcome to the spring semester. When the brethren called this semester the spring semester a few years ago, some thought that they were out of kilter, but they were people of hope. People of hope, and their hope has certainly paid off this year. Yes. Amen. So welcome back to this place of growth and learning and transformation. Thank you to my dear brother and colleague and friend, Dr. Denis Fortin, our dean, for the privilege and opportunity to speak at the first chapel of the new year. We share this responsibility, and thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you also, Dr. Hyvett Williams, the chair of our worship committee, for these wonderful worship services. Amen. If you have your Bibles, in hard copy form, or if you have your iPads, or your iPhones, or your whatever, turn with me, or scroll down with me to Genesis, the 11th chapter. And allow me to read in your hearing from the New International Version from verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. At the height of the American Civil War, between the northern states, which wanted slavery abolished, and the southern states, which wanted the diabolical institution to continue. The President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, delivered a speech to the nation entitled House Divided. In his sobering speech, Lincoln sought to show the utter incongruity, yea, even the sheer folly, of citizens of the same country fighting among themselves. And he argued, rather persuasively and passionately, for the cessation of the self-destructing conflict. Lincoln reminded the American people that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And he stressed that the young nation would move forward only as its citizens stood in solidarity with each other. In time, the war ended, the conflict ceased. And whereas before the war, people talked about the United States are plural, after the war, it was the United States is singular. Interestingly, as 2012 begins, this year, which just so happens to be an election year, the United States is as divided as ever. What divided between red states and blue states? What divided between the coasts and the heartland? What divided between the 1%ers and the 99%ers? What divided between the millennials and the silence? Yes, we are divided. But if you think that's bad, think about the church. We're all so divided. I'm here today to speak to you about the power of one. Let us pray. Father God, as we open your word, may we also open our hearts, we pray. Amen. It all started on the plains of China, approximately 2,000 years before Christ. The people who built China were descendants of Noah, and they settled there about 100 years after Noah left the ark perched atop that mountain. Please understand that these were not heathen people. They were Noah's progeny. They were a homogeneous group with a common culture, speaking the same language, with the same accent, inflections, diction, etc. Now, although God had clearly instructed Noah and his family to spread out and to fill the earth, Noah's inhabitants decided to do something else. They had a better plan, or so they thought. They would settle right where they were. They not only challenged God's express purpose and will to spread wide and far, but in an effort to demonstrate their wisdom and their intelligence,
their brain and their brawn. They decided to build a city with a soaring tower reaching right into the heavens. Said the people, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." Insightful and intelligent, these people put their minds together and came up with a brand new invention. They began to build using brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. Putting their minds together, they were able to accomplish a marvelous feat. Now, was anything wrong with the structure they sought to build? No, 1,000 times no. It was their motivation for building that displeased God. The tower they constructed was not for their defense. It was not even for their occupation. The purpose of that structure was to show off their prowess, to make the statement that they did not really need God. Glory to man in the highest was the statement of that monument. If I had time this morning, I'd park here for a while. If time were my ally, I'd point out that we Christians aren't immune from such conceited thoughts. We're just better at concealing them. Please note that the people were succeeding in their sin, in their rebellion, or so it seemed, as they remained united. Genesis 11, verses 5 through 6 read, "But the Lord came down." Who, everybody? The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. God will inspect our projects. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." The Lord recognized the potential for people to do great things if they would just work together. God says that people who unify themselves will be able to accomplish anything, even if that thing is against the will of God. You see, unity has an unparalleled power. Unity has potency, whether its objective or its objectives are good or bad. Abraham Lincoln said to the American people that a house divided cannot stand, and he was quoting Christ in saying so. My own country, Trinidad and Tobago, has as its motto, "Together we aspire, together we achieve." This fact should stir excitement in every Christian, knowing that if every church understood and experienced the power of unity, there is nothing that that church would not be able to do. Towns would be transformed if Christians stood in unity. Cities would be saved if Christians stood in unity. And nations would turn to God if the church were only to become united. There is nothing impossible for those who are united. And the devil and his imps know that a single purpose is a powerful force. That's the reason the devil attacks every Bible-believing church, enticing members to fight and quarrel among themselves. Doing so, church members will not be in the unity necessary to bring in the harvest. Worse, we become easy prey for the devil. I read about four bulls that were friends. They went everywhere together. They ate together, these bulls. They hunted together. They slept together. They played together. They faced danger together. There was a lion determined to get them. He couldn't, though, because even though he could overpower each bull singly, he could not overpower them when they stood together in solidarity. So the lion developed a strategy of whispering into the ear of each bull that the other bulls didn't like him. Soon the bulls started mistrusting each other. Soon the bulls broke up their friendship, and they went off in their different directions. The lion was then able to pick them off one by one. Scripture tells us that we have an adversary, the devil, who, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's the accuser of the brethren. He tells tales. He stirs up stuff. He starts rumors and confusion. And what he's trying to do is to divide and conquer the people of God. And ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing worse than a divided church, a divided home, and a divided school. Ellen White says, heaven and holy angels are working to unite, to bring into the unity of the faith into one body. Satan opposes this, she says, and is determined to scatter, to divide, to bring in differing sentiments that the prayer of Christ may not be answered. She also says, volume 7, 239, that Satan exults over church members fighting among themselves. She continues, the oneness and unity of God's truth-believing remnant people carries powerful conviction to the world that they have the truth. That they have the truth and are the peculiar chosen people of God. This oneness and unity disconcerts the enemy, and he is determined that it shall not exist. This past Christmas, I was watching the news, and lo and behold, there playing out before me and the world was coverage of a fight that broke out at the Church of the Nativity in Jerusalem. Did you see it? Rival groups of Orthodox and American clerics clashed over the boundaries of their jurisdictions inside the Church of the Nativity there in Jerusalem. Jesus, who prayed, Father, let them be one. Greek Orthodox and American clergy came to blows. I mean literally blows during preparations for Orthodox Christian celebrations, and the physical violence was quelled only when police, armed with batons and shields, stormed the church. Cops with shields and batons had to break up the fight among these clerics in the Church of the Nativity right there in Bethlehem. Now, how did God respond to these descendants of Noah? King David once wrote, the one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. The wise man adds in Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And someone else once quipped, man proposes, but God disposes. God, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Instead of using a bulldozer or a bomb blast or a tomahawk missile, God tore down the tower another way, by attacking from within, by confusing the languages or the language of the people. If you think about it, you know, this judgment on man was in many ways worse than the flood. the flood killed millions of people in one swoop. But the confusing of languages has caused the deaths of many more throughout history. And language still divides and decimates us today. Accents and dialects cause us to remain splintered as we think our way of pronouncing words is the standard, the norm. You know, I'm from the Caribbean. I'm from Trinidad. And North Americans think all West Indians are alike. Those of us from that neck of the woods, you know that we're not. And that there are always bickerings between or amongst us from the islands. Come on, am I telling the truth? Yeah. I remember in the early 60s when one by one, these countries got their independence from Great Britain. No longer colonies, we became independent. And then there was a move to unite us together under an umbrella called the West Indies Federation. Well, the Jamaicans, the Jamaicans, bless their hearts, the Jamaicans said that the capital of the West Indies must be Jamaica. And the Prime Minister of the West Indies Federation must be a Jamaican. Well, it so happened that the first Prime Minister happened to be a Barbadian, Sir Grantley Adams. Well, the Jamaicans didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that, everything didn't pivot around them. So lo and behold, it wasn't long before the West Indies Federation crashed. And it was a thing of history. And to this day, we try to come together, but it's difficult because, again, these accents and the language that we speak. Now, you're laughing, but they tell me the same is true among the Hispanic population. You know, who speaks the purest Spanish? Is it the Mexicans or the Argentinians? You know, when the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans, that's another story. It's interesting, again, that God came down and God said, let's confuse their speech so that they will not understand each other. At Babel, the united became divided. A communication gap of tremendous dimensions ensued. A crisis in communication took place, and I'm constrained today to ask, how's your communication today? Oh, I'm not talking about communication in your native tongue or language, whether it be English or Spanish, French or English. I'm talking about communication within your native tongue. Do you and your spouse speak the same language? Does the pastor and his congregant speak the same language? Do parents and their children speak the same language? Do the old and the young speak the same language? Do whites and blacks speak the same language? Do male and female speak the same language? Do teachers and students speak the same language? Communication is a powerful tool that can literally stop anything dead in its tracks. It frustrates and it destroys unity and solidarity. In the midst of these trying times, we need something that will bring us together. We need something that will cause husbands and wives to start talking again. Politicians find unity, in hating other politicians. We ought to find unity in looking toward God. Can I hear somebody say amen? Just last week, the new mayor of South Bend, Pete Buttigieg, I think his name is, was sworn in as the 32nd mayor of South Bend. And this is what he had to say at this critical time in the city's history. He said, our city's coming back, But it can only happen with us working together. I'm not asking for the impossible, for everyone to agree on everything all the time. I'm asking for everyone to remember how to prevent disagreements from holding our entire community back. The mayor said, he drew loud applause when he said, if we pay so much attention to what divides us that we lose focus on our mutual interests, then the only thing we will have in common is the blame we share for missing this opportunity. 50 years or so after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples came in a house in Jerusalem. I'm ending now. I just saw the brother hold up a sign. 5 minutes. I'm under heavy manners. Some of the same issues that bedeviled the Babel group threatened the Upper Room group. Materialism, nation building, kingdom building, self-ambition imperiled them. So what did they do? They decided that they were not there to preach to each other, but to confess their sins one to another, to repent of their backsliding, their distrust, and their folly. As they sang and prayed, and as they came together as one, through tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit rested upon them. Then the Holy Spirit changed their tongues so they could speak and be understood in different languages. It just so happened that many people from all over the world, shall we say from every face on the face of the earth, every nation on the face of the earth, were in Jerusalem at that time. They had come to give their first fruits of their grain harvest with a marvelous new ability to be understood. Through speaking in another tongue, the disciples told all who were in Jerusalem that Jesus had indeed died on the cross for their sins and that Christ had risen again from the dead. With the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, thousands of people heard these disciples speaking in their own tongues. It was a reversal of Babel. In one day alone, the Holy Spirit testified to the truth of the power of unity and solidarity so that 3,000 people were baptized. And today, people are still being drawn from different nations, languages, cultures, and various walks of life by the power of the gospel. Now, there are two ways of being united. One is by being frozen together, and the other is by being melted together. What we need today is not to be frozen together. We need to be melted together by the Holy Spirit's power. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. You see, we have this common faith in an uncommon and forgiving God. Now, that doesn't mean that things will always go smoothly for us. But that means that with the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon us, I can speak to you when you can speak to me. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can understand each other so that thousands may be baptized. Our president, NAD, President Dan Jackson, in a sermon delivered just recently at the 2011 year-end meeting, said, learn to love one another. Learn to love one another. He's appealing now. Learn to live with one another. Learn that unity is not conformity. Learn that people can disagree with you and still be your brother, your sister in Christ. We create crises of unity in the church, but really there are crises of uniformity that we are worried about. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, when the Spirit comes, confusion will be replaced by coherence. When the Spirit comes, frustration will be replaced with understanding. At Babel, there was confusion. At Pentecost, there was coherence. At Babel, we hear babblers unable to understand each other. At Pentecost, we hear polyglots able to hear and connect with others. At Babel, there was pride. At Pentecost, there was humility. What we need today is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're one flock. with one shepherd. We're one kingdom with one foundation. We're one building with one foundation, sorry. We're one kingdom with one king. We're one family with one father. We're one body with one head. May God help us. May God help us. As through the power of the Holy Spirit, we come together, recognizing that united we stand, divided we fall.